to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Lifonier. There's adventure in this hour, later on from the Clyde Beatty Show. But first, it's a broadcast of high adventure called Bottom of the Hill. This was first heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on April 6th, 1954.
This is High Adventure, stories that have all three, danger, escape, suspense. And here is the man of high adventure, George Sanders.
This is High Adventure, and you have already been forewarned that I am George Sanders. Not that the possession of such an overwhelming bit of information may be of any consequence to you. However, I might say that my maternal guardian was somewhat overjoyed at the idea. My father, on the other hand, assumed a rather negative position about the business of my being George Sanders. I must confess that I've never been able to determine exactly why. Be that as it may, I'm sure you're wondering in just what way the foregoing facts relate themselves to high adventure. The answer is simple. I came alive, as did you. And so we all possess that spark we call living. When that spark is intensified into a brilliant flame by a moment of sheer adventure, we term that moment high adventure. Shall I illustrate? The tale is one of a man married to a beautiful woman, a woman who succumbed to a touch of the Orient.
You're listening to George Sanders tell you of The Bottom of the Hill, another transcribed story of high adventure.
A high adventure story. This one is called Bottom of the Hill. And it is a story about two people, Henry Hunter and his lovely wife, Carol. But in one sense, it is more than a story of two humans. It's a story about a place, Borneo. Henry Hunter, you are a very successful businessman. And like most aggressive men of your type, you take only the best. So it was even with marriage. You'd take only the most vivacious creature you could find. Carol was all of that and more. You love her deeply. And she returns that love even more ardently. Your business, Henry Hunter, takes you to the four corners of the earth. And these trips have meant separations. They've spelt loneliness for both you and Carol. So you made a decision of the heart, never to leave this lovely treasure of yours behind again. Unfortunately for you, a decision of the heart is seldom a good one.
Come in. Ma'am. Oh, Janet, Mr. Hunter and I are going abroad.
Yes, I know, ma'am.
I'll be closing up the apartment.
Oh.
When I come back, Janet, I won't need your services.
Please, ma'am.
I'm sorry, Janet. I'm sure you understand. That's all.
Very well, ma'am.
You were a little hard, I thought, Carol.
I don't think I was, Henry.
Well, I think you did quite right, only...
Henry, Janet's simply not a nice girl. She has a date with a different man every night.
Well, after what we found out, naturally, she had to go.
I'm sure she'll find another position.
Carol.
Yes, dear?
You know you're very beautiful.
Why, how nice, Henry.
So righteous and so beautiful. Dreadful, devastating combination.
Oh, I didn't know I was righteous.
Sure, Tanaka.
Oh, how droll, darling.
A little island of virtue and an ocean of sin.
Oh, don't be silly, Henry.
Talking about oceans, this time next week, we'll be flying across the Pacific.
Are you sure you want me to go with you?
Absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to it, of course.
You'll be the loveliest thing that ever landed in Sarawak.
This, after 8 years of marriage. What sort of a place is it, darling?
Many sorts.
It's Borneo, after all.
It's fairly civilized around the
coast.
According
to what standards?
South China Sea standards, I'm afraid.
Sounds wild.
Oh, we'll be staying in a good hotel.
I'm glad to hear that.
It stands on top of a hill. Overlooks the town below.
How delightful.
You can see the slums. But we won't go slumming, I'm afraid.
Slumming doesn't appeal to me.
The town at the bottom of the hill is,
off limits to nice people?
Call it that.
Well, apart from places like that, is Sarawak a nice country?
Land of the blood-red dak tree. Red, yellow, and purple jungle. Rich plantations. And we should be seeing it in just 7 minutes and 30 seconds. Have a look through the porthole.
Yes. I see land.
Funny.
What is it, darling?
Same feeling I always get when I come here.
Feeling?
Desire to get away from the place.
Perhaps it was a desire to get home.
To you. I have the same feeling now, and you're with me.
You probably need your martini.
I'm getting one as soon as we get to the hotel.
balcony.
Enjoying the view?
Yes.
That sunset. Quite a picture.
Beautiful.
It'll be dark in a few minutes.
So quickly.
After a while, the moon will come up.
And the night.
Yeah.
Is that the place you told me about?
Oh, down there. The foot of the hill, yeah.
Looks mysterious.
A dusk hides a multitude of sins and a cloak of mystery. Well, you rest for an hour.
All right.
Griff Stevens is waiting for me downstairs, so we'll get our business settled. Then plan something for the evening.
All right, Henry.
Nobody eats dinner till about 9 o'clock here. Plenty of time for us to dress.
So hot.
Hot?
Suffocating.
It's really quite cool up here.
Of course it is. I'm all right.
Are you sure?
Yes, it came over me for just a moment. I'm perfectly all right now.
Well, I'll be down in the bar if you need me. Back inside of an hour anyway. Where's my wife?
We are making inquiries, sir.
Where is she?
Please, a little patience, Mr. Hunter.
She can't have just vanished.
Oh, I'm sure she is somewhere in the hotel, sir. Excuse me, sir. Hello. Impossible. Well, thank you. She was seen leaving the hotel about an hour ago.
Leaving the hotel?
Well, she took a rickshaw.
What?
She was down the hill.
Down the hill?
A rickshaw boy took her to a place called Melick.
All right, now, what is this Melick, sir? A curio shop?
Well, hardly that, sir. It's run by a man named Chandra Melick. He has an evil reputation. I would suggest the police, Mr. Hunter.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Mr. Melick?
Mr. Melick is a man of infinitely large proportions, weighing some 300 pounds. He's reputed to be immensely strong. Would you say I measure up to that description?
Look.
Obviously, you think I do.
Can we dispense with the games? My name is Hunter.
You come rushing into my establishment, proclaiming your name as Hunter. What can I do for you, Mr. Hunter?
My wife came here.
Did she?
A rickshaw boy brought her. She was here less than an hour ago.
She was.
Where is she?
You don't rule this part of the world, you know. And you're in my establishment. Do sit down, my dear fellow.
I'd rather stand.
As you please. At least smoke one of my cigarettes.
Thanks, no.
They're excellent.
I want to know where my wife is.
Yeah, you're worried about her.
Yes, slightly.
Let me pour you a drink.
Where is she?
Let me pour you a drink.
I don't want it.
I insist. You see, I hate talking to anyone unless they drink with me. Here.
Okay. I'll drink with you.
Why not sit down, too?
Look, suppose I call the police.
Police?
I will in about 2 minutes.
Why do people like you always use the word police as a threat? The police are ordinary people like you, like me.
Where's my wife?
You feeling ill?
No air in this place.
Really?
Where is she?
Beautiful creature, Mr. Hunter. When she first came here, it was though she melted out of the Oriental night.
I'll go for the police.
We were talking about your wife, an unusually refreshing woman for this part of the globe.
My wife. Where is my wife?
She was
where
here, of course.
Where is she?
A moment, and then the ecstasy of her loveliness was gone.
That drink. The drink you gave me.
She was like a butterfly, having paused in its flight for a moment.
I kill you.
Someone has said that a woman's place is in the home. I quite agree. But woe to the man who tries to keep one there. A woman must be a butterfly and flit about. Flit, flit, flit. And when they're not flittering, they're fluttering. And between the flit and the flut, romance. Whatever that's supposed to be. I must confess I feel little compassion for Mr. Henry Hunter. Oh, well, we have a beautiful female on the loose in a strange part of the Orient. A devoted husband who has met with sudden violence. And so, we have the beginning of another high adventure. High adventure. You know, Henry Hunter, for a man of your intelligence, you're acting like a boob. I would assume you had the good sense to realize that chasing a wife is rather an outmoded form of endeavor, don't you think? Let them run if they will. And believe me, they will. So, Henry Hunter, you went to the bottom of the hill in search of your lovely wife. You are a strong and vigorous person. A man who is not used to being denied. But, Henry, you are not a match for sinister violence. And you find yourself on the hard floor, your senses reeling.
Oh,
it was necessary to subdue you, Mr. Hunter.
My head.
The feeling will pass.
I must find her.
Oh, I could help you.
What?
As a matter of fact, I'm interested in knowing what became of your wife.
What became of...
You seem shocked by all this.
I can't believe it.
You could believe it if it applied to another woman.
Not a woman like Carol.
You're a very naive man, my dear fellow.
Why did she come here?
Do compose yourself, Mr. Hunter. Take this.
What is it?
An address, number 14 Soho Hanana Street. Street of the Pure White Lily. I'm told that's where your wife went.
I don't believe it.
Let me know if you find her. If you don't, come back. She might return here.
Open this door. Open it.
Yes?
I'm looking for my wife.
Your wife?
I was told she came here.
You may come in.
Is she here?
Please to come in.
All right.
Please.
All right. I'll follow you.
This is my room. Please come in.
Can't see anything.
Your eyes will grow accustomed in a moment. Here's a couch. Now be comfortable.
Was she here?
Your wife.
An American lady.
The beautiful, pretty lady. Yes. She was here.
I'm going crazy looking for her.
Hush.
Since 8 o'clock, she's been gone.
It is early yet. Sit down.
No, I...
One comes here for peace, contentment. Sit down.
Can't think straight.
Was so gentle.
Where is she?
Do not tremble so.
Where did she go?
I do not know where she went.
You must have some idea.
Must you worry about her?
She's my wife.
Get out. I don't want you here. Get out.
You saw her. She was here. Where did she go?
Find her. Go ahead, find her. Now get out. Get out.
Sorry, I must be going crazy.
Get out.
You.
Taking my evening stroll.
Where am I going to look for her?
Oh, any one of 100 places in this neighborhood.
I'll go for the police. I should have done that to start with.
Will the police know where to look?
I don't know.
She was at this address, though?
Yes.
Let me suggest a couple of places. I might even walk with you to them. Shall we take a stroll, Mr. Hunter?
All right. Phil, she wouldn't have come down here.
You didn't think she'd run off.
All right, all right.
Has it occurred to you the sudden change of environment might have transformed her?
What?
You flew here from your frigid North American climate to this rather beautiful tropic.
Nothing of the sort.
Oh, but I think you're wrong, Mr. Hunter.
All right, I'm listening.
Surely you must have felt something of the same sort during your previous visits here?
No.
A compelling impulse to turn your back on everything in your everyday life.
No.
To simply abandon yourself, the world around
Shut
you.
Shut up!
You evidently overcame these impulses, but some of us can't. I forsook my place in society, Mr. Hunter, to remain here. You'll find many like me. Men and women.
Not Carol. Not her. Where are we going?
To what is erroneously called the Chinese section.
Good evening, Mr. Millie.
Good evening, Shan.
So nice of you to bring a friend.
This is Mr. Hunter.
Oh, Mr. Hunter?
Mr. Hunter's disturbed over his wife.
Ah?
We've been looking for her. Your doorman said an American lady came here this evening.
Oh, yes.
Is she here now?
Oh, perhaps.
Is that her?
Oh, so sorry, no. Please, follow me.
All right.
Go ahead, Mr. Hunter. Despite the oriental gloom, despite the whispers and the silence, no one will put a knife in your back.
In here, please.
An empty room.
Please, visit it.
Sure.
Now, excuse me, if you please.
Now what? Tell me something.
Yes?
Why are you spending all this time with me?
Curiosity, shall we say?
Is that all?
It could be.
No, she wouldn't come to a place like this.
Are you so sure?
I'm sure, yes.
Oh, don't shout in this place, Mr. Hunter.
Carol! Carol, are you here? Carol!
Really, Mr. Hunter?
Carol! She wouldn't come here. Listen.
Don't go out there.
It's her. Her footsteps. Carol!
I told you not to go out.
Let go of me. Let go. Carol! Carol! It was her. It was her.
Only saw the silhouette, Mr. Hunter, not the woman.
Let go of me.
We had expected to wait here patiently.
While my wife gets away. Wait. Carol! Carol! Carol, where are you? Carol.
Carol.
Yes?
Honey, I...
What do you want?
Oh, Carol, it's me.
Yes, I know.
Where have you been? What are you doing?
Don't touch me.
Carol, I'm a half out of my head. I can't stand any more of this.
Please, go away.
Go away?
Go away, please.
Carol, the way you look at me is as if you don't know me.
I know you.
What is it, honey? What happened to you?
Please, leave me.
Let's go home. Carol, let's go home.
Leave me alone. I don't want you with me. Leave me alone. Don't follow me.
Poor Henry Hunter. Hunter. Rather aptly named, isn't he? I wonder what exactly is wrong with the young woman. When they begin to act the way she's acting, I'm at a total loss to discover the cause. Of course, when it comes to the female of the species, most of us men are lost. Some few of us manage to struggle free, but we are never quite the same. None of us. And yet, the rather odd fact of the matter is, we enjoy it. I use the word we loosely. I prefer not to include myself. Of late, I've been toying with the idea of severing myself from the outside world, becoming a hermit. At any rate, Carol's strange behavior and Henry's almost fruitless search go to make up the kind of story that can only be called high adventure.
One of the easiest ways to send gifts abroad is through CARE. CARE has a variety of packages for shipment overseas for either your friends or relatives or just because you want to help someone. There's a food package that is designed to meet specific needs. The contents are chosen to combine with available foods to make nationally preferred dishes. CARE also has self-help packages. These parcels provide people in Europe and Asia with the tools to help themselves. One of these is the special plow package, which is delivered to India, Pakistan, and Greece. It provides an easily assembled, simple farm implement. When used by small-holding farmers, it can bring about a crop increase of as much as 40%. CARE has an English language instruction package, too. It includes not only instruction manuals designed for the foreign student, but a half dozen volumes of basic literature. For further information about CARE packages, contact your local CARE office. This message is brought to you as a public service.
High adventure, and the rather unusual conclusion to Bottom of the Hill. So, Henry Hunter, you find yourself at a loss to know just what to do. You are unable to break through Carol's mood. Yet you're convinced that it is some kind of strange mood, some sort of hypnotic trance. Your experience tells you of the influence of the Orient with its strange ways and its different standards. And also, you are very much aware of the powers of evil, the fatal fascinations of the lovely flowers and the beautiful dreams. Yet you cannot believe it is true. Perhaps you are in a dream. She knew you, but she told you to go away. But you won't. You'll keep on following.
Awful audacity you had, Mr. Hunter.
She came back here to your place.
Oh, why don't you give up?
I followed her. She came here.
You're very lucky. You see, I've had to reconsider my decision to kill you.
What?
The authorities are looking for you. They know you came here.
Authorities?
But you had your nerve coming here.
I found her.
Where did it get you?
It was like she was hypnotized.
You'd prefer to think that, I suppose.
But she knew me.
A wife should know her husband.
She walked away. I called after her, but she didn't even turn around. She just walked away.
Don't you see, you no longer interested.
I don't know what to do.
Go back to America.
You're crazy.
You know I'm not.
If I had a gun.
Oh, no, come.
This was the first place she came to.
And the last one?
That's right. She's here.
But she's lost to you.
She's sick. Something's happened to her.
She merely ceased to exist for you and for all the other things she's known all her life. She rebelled. She took another road. It's very easy to understand.
Where is she?
If I don't tell you, you'll run to the police, I suppose.
You bet I will.
Call it the tropics, Mr. Hunter. It happens to men. Why not to a woman?
What?
You came to this country with a wife. You leave without her. Let it go at that.
That's a good one, huh?
Depends on your point of view.
Just leave her here.
Of course.
And let it go at that.
Have you a choice, after all?
There's something I have a choice about.
Violence?
That's it.
I wouldn't contemplate anything like that.
You wouldn't?
Not if I were you.
You're not me.
One moment. I am tired of this gentlemanly attitude. If you so much as raise a hand, I'll break you into so many pieces, little pieces. I can do it. I've done it so many times.
I'm falling. Help me. I'm falling. That was quite a weight to carry downstairs. You really took a fall, didn't you?
Get a doctor.
He wants a doctor. Why didn't somebody get him one?
doctor, quick.
What's a broken back to you, or a few broken ribs?
Get me a doctor. You fools!
Carol.
Oh, hello, darling.
Carol.
I was afraid you'd missed the plane.
What are
you... Did you buy a magazine?
Magazine?
Oh, I so hoped you would.
Oh, no,
I suppose I should have thought of it myself, only you generally attend to those sort of things.
I've got a newspaper.
Oh, never mind, dear.
Carol...
Isn't the weather just perfect for flying?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be so glad to get home. Henry?
What?
You're so quiet, darling.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Aren't you glad we're going home?
I...
Didn't you tell me you're always glad when you leave this place?
I'm always glad, yeah.
Oh, what a nuisance.
What?
The bother of trying to find a new maid when we get home. Good ones are almost impossible to find nowadays. I certainly won't take Janet back. Well, I won't, Henry. I just won't tolerate my maid engaging in messy little kitchen romances when she thinks my back is turned. After all, I do run a respectable household. I intend to keep it that way.
Bottom of the Hill, a very strange and unusual story of high adventure. I can't help but wonder how life is going to be for Henry Hunter and for Carol. The poor dear did seem quite normal. Of course, I've never been able to ascertain just what is normal for a woman. No, really, I'm not attempting to be witty, I'm serious. Women are just not normal. I know because I met a normal woman one time. Quiet, demure, intelligent. Poor girl was devoured by her own kind. Never saw her again. Tragic. She liked nothing better than to spend the evenings at home by the fire, stroking her pet boa constrictor. What about next week? I'll tell you about it in just a moment.
You can always count on Mutual's Corps of Newsmen to bring you outstanding coverage of the news stories of the moment, whether they're national events, international issues, or currently all-absorbing sports news. Every weekday evening, you can enjoy the dramatic and colorful delivery of Gabriel Heater as he presents his views of the day's happenings. Then there's Bill Henry with his famed capsule report, 5 minutes of information-packed listening. For more detailed analysis, you can enjoy the stimulating commentary of Frank Edwards, known for his fearless approach on controversial questions. Weekends bring you Jack Brickhouse and his sports news every Saturday, and Cecil Brown every Sunday gives you his comments on the news picture as seen from a veteran reporter's viewpoint. When you stay tuned to Mutual, you're listening to your network for news. Hear Gabriel Heater, Bill Henry, and Frank Edwards every weeknight, Jack Brickhouse every Saturday, and Cecil Brown every Sunday, all over most of these stations.
High Adventure, a meeting place for those of us who aren't satisfied with things the way they are. A place for unruly souls to get together. Those who are bored with the usual, the getting up and going to work and the coming home and going to bed, the stifling humdrum of plain existence. So these dissatisfied mortals collect themselves each week at this time to escape, if just for 30 minutes. Escape into living. Next week on our High Adventure agenda, we have a story, a tale about a young man who liked to take pictures, and who suddenly decided that there are a lot of things that can be had just for the taking. This is George Sanders extending to you a cordial invitation to be with us next week for another meeting of our High Adventure Society. Our story, focused on fortune, on high adventure.
Featured on High Adventure with George Sanders this week were Jim Bowles, Connie Lemke, Charlie Holmes, Inga Adams, and Joe Helgeson. Remember, it's focused on fortune. Next week on High Adventure. This program came to you transcribed from New York. Thank you.
High Adventure, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 6th of April, 1954, from the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Clyde Beatty Show, starring Vic Perrin, who is one of radio's busiest actors, probably recognized best from his constant appearances in many different characters on the Gunsmoke radio series, along with many others for CBS Like Suspense and Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Following the golden age of radio, he got into voiceover work for many commercials and short films, along with some acting appearances on television in the 1960s and in the January 8, 1967 issue of the Rochester newspaper Democrat and Chronicle. They wrote of him that Vic Perrin is one actor who makes more money when he's not seen on camera than when he is. Vic belongs to that exclusive breed in show business that has hit it big as the anonymous voices on TV commercials. And later in the article, he was quoted as saying that, "I think there is more creativity going on into commercials these days than into many of the programs." Hear him now as Clyde Beatty in this episode called Danger in the Deep, a syndicated broadcast from 1949.
The Clyde Beatty Show. The world's greatest wild animal trainer, Clyde Beatty, with another exciting story from his brilliant career. This master of the big cats captures ferocious jungle beasts and trains them to perform under the big top in the circus, where there are always thrills, action, and danger. Hundreds of dramatic behind-the-scenes adventures are all part of the Clyde Beatty story. Here, in Mr. Beatty's own words, is the story he calls Danger in the Deep.
A few seasons ago, our circus played a week's engagement in enchanting Hawaii. At the end of our run, circus equipment and personnel were loaded aboard a steamer to return to the States. But what about Harriet and me? Well, we became tourists. We forgot all about guns and whips and steel arenas and concentrated only on enjoying the hospitality of the island. What'll it be now, honey? You want to stay here and relax on the exotic terrace of the Royal Palm Hotel?
Or
swim in the moonlight at exotic Waikiki Beach?
Or
visit the Hula Heaven where exotic native girls perform their dances?
Haven't you something more exotic?
Oh, those travel folders make it tough to decide, don't they?
Oh, yes. But I won't be hard to please. I'll just be...
Huh? What's the matter?
There's a couple coming to that table. Aren't they the ones we met the other night? The Randalls?
Oh, yes. The J. Wilson Randalls.
That's right. I heard he's done very well in the apple business over here.
Fine apples, dear.
Oh, all right. I was half right anyway.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Beatty. Good to see you again. I believe you've met my wife, Rita.
Yes, the other night. How are you, Mrs. Randall?
Oh, just fine, thanks. Hello, Mrs. Beatty. I hope we're not intruding.
Oh, not at all. Clyde and I were just relaxing. Please join us, won't you?
Thanks, but we've...
Now, come on. Have chairs. You're not interrupting a thing. As a matter of fact, maybe you can help us.
Well, in that case, we'd be glad to.
We're staying over for a few days and then flying back to the mainland, Randall. But we're in a typical tourist dilemma.
I know. Can't make up your mind what to do, huh?
Exactly. You've lived here several years, I understand. Perhaps you could give us a tip or two.
Well, I don't know. I've long since gotten over my early enthusiasm for the place.
Oh, that's Jay's way of saying he's bored to death with the monotony of life in the islands, Mrs. Beatty.
Well, Rita's right, but that's neither here nor there. I do have one idea, though. I don't know whether or not you folks are interested in volcanoes. One of our star attractions here is Mauna Loa, you know.
So the travel folders tell us, but they also tell us it's located on the island of Hawaii, and that's quite a distance from Oahu here, isn't it?
Yes, but not too far. If you have some time, would you like to see it?
Oh, we'd love to. I know it'd be wonderful, but...
Say no more, fair lady. You're as good as there.
What are you driving at, Randall?
Well, I just happen to have a little boat that's raring to go. She's got good accommodations, and we've been looking for an excuse to get away for a few days anyway.
Of course. You folks come along. You'd love it.
Well, that's awfully nice of you.
We'll accept no excuses now. Let's throw a few things in a suitcase and leave tonight. How about it?
Well, what do you think, Harriet?
Well, it sounds wonderful.
That means, yes, it's all settled then. And as your host, I promise you'll have a time you'll never forget.
And now, back to Clyde Beatty.
Hey, Harriet and I were enthused at the prospects of really seeing the islands, and a short time after receiving the Randalls' invitation, we returned to our room to pack the few things which we wanted to take along.
Oh, I wish I'd known in advance we were going to take a trip like this. I don't have any clothes that are really appropriate.
Here we go again. You girls never seem to have the right kind of clothes.
And you men never seem to worry about how you're dressed. Clyde, is that all you're taking?
Sure. This isn't the lure line we're going on, honey.
Oh, I guess you're right. It was nice of the Randalls to ask us to go, but...
But?
Well, I wonder why they did. After all, we scarcely know them.
Maybe they liked our looks. They should yours, anyway.
Oh, thank you, kind sir. Well, it should be fun, though.
Sure, we're lucky. I always say, if you want to see a place the right way, have somebody who lives there show you around. Oh, I'll get it, honey. Hello? Yes, yeah, speaking. Okay, tell them we'll be right down. Thanks. That was the desk. The Randalls are waiting for us down in the lobby.
No, they don't waste any time once they decide to do something, do
no.
they?
Randall seems to be a man of action. You ready?
All set.
Okay, let's get with it, honey. Mauna Loa, here we come. It was almost midnight when we arrived at the yacht basin and pulled to a stop at one of the small piers. There, much to our surprise, we discovered that Randall's little boat was a sleek 60-foot cabin cruiser.
Well, here we are, folks. What do you think of her?
It's beautiful, Mr. Randall.
Oh, she's a beauty, all right.
Thanks. She should be.
Jay's like a kid with a new toy when it comes to this boat. He couldn't be more proud of it with a Queen Mary.
Well, let's get aboard. Oh, Wong!
Yes, Mr. Randall. Wong coming, Wong coming.
Wong here's our cabin boy.
Take the luggage aboard, Wong.
Mr. and Mrs. Beatty will have the starboard cabin, so put two bags in there, Wong.
Yeah, hold on, Mr. Randall. Evening, Mr. and Mrs. Randall.
Evening, Farley. Everything shipshape?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Beatty, this is Frank Farley, my skipper.
Well, how do you do, Mr.
Farley? Glad to meet you, Farley.
Thank you. Welcome aboard the Luana.
Luana? My, what a pretty name.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Beatty. I picked that name out myself.
Jay, we're keeping our guests standing. Let's go below, shall we?
Of course. You can shove off immediately, Farley.
Yes, sir. But when you called, you didn't tell me where we were going, Mr. Randall.
Oh, set a course for Hilo. We're going to show the Beatties Mauna Loa, and then we'll put in at Hilo first.
Yes, sir. But could I speak with you a moment before you go below, Mr. Randall?
Why, sure. You folks go on. I'll be down in a moment.
I don't know what's keeping Jay, but I'm rather tired. I think if you'll excuse me, I'll go to our cabin and turn in.
Oh, of course, Mrs. Randall.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea to me, too.
Well, I hope you'll be comfortable. If there's anything you want, just ring for Wong.
Thanks.
Jay's quite the early riser. Sleep as late as you like. It's perfectly all right. Good night.
Good night, Mrs. Randall.
Good night.
Listen, Clyde.
Sounds and feels like we're underway.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what do you think of Randall's little scowl, honey?
Clyde, I can't get over it. I surely didn't expect anything like this, did you?
No, this is wonderful. Get a load of the carpets and the furnishings. Boy, the folks back in Chillicothe could only see me now.
I know what you mean. Mr. and Mrs. Clyde Beatty were the guests of Mr. and Mrs. J. Wilson Randall aboard their cruiser Luana on their recent trip to Hawaii. Mr. Beatty will be remembered by his many friends here in Chillicothe as the lad who used to train dogs in his backyard.
Okay, I surrender. I'll try not to let all this luxury turn my head.
I'm really not worried, Clyde. You're not the type.
I guess you're right. Who was it said you could take the boy out of the country, but not the country out of the boy?
I don't know, but I'm glad it's true.
And to prove it is, I'll admit I'm sleepy. I suppose now that we're underway, we may as well turn in and get some rest. How about it?
Oh, that sounds good to me. And in the morning, we can enjoy ourselves on the calm blue Pacific.
What's the matter, Harry?
How can you sleep? This boat, it's pitching and rocking so much.
Hey, you're right. Let me have a look out of the porthole.
Oh.
Wow, your calm blue Pacific is sort of kicking up its heels, honey.
Oh, does it really look bad?
Oh, it'll probably blow itself out soon. Have you heard the Randalls up and around yet?
No, the only sounds I've heard have been made by the boat.
They'll probably be up and we'll have some breakfast soon. In the meantime, I think I'll dress and go upstairs. I think I'll go above.
Maybe Farley can tell me how long this is going to last.
Oh, I just hope it doesn't last long.
Why, honey, you're getting a little green around the gills. What's the matter? You feel sick?
Oh, just a little woozy. I'll be all right. You go on up and talk to Farley.
You'll excuse me for asking, Mr. Beatty, but have you known Mr. Randall very long?
Why, no. Matter of fact, we just met him last week through a mutual friend. Why?
Well, I don't usually sound off, but...
Well, what is it, Farley, if there's something I should know?
Randall knew we'd be headed right toward a squall.
What?
I told him about the weather report before we left last night. They've got storm warnings out from Maui to Oahu.
But I don't get it. Why would he deliberately take us into it?
Well, because he thought it'd be dangerous.
But we were going to Mauna Loa on a pleasure cruise.
From Mr. Randall's standpoint, it'd be dull unless there's some kind of thrill.
Well, this is a new one.
I saw a few men like him during the war, always trying to impress somebody with their disregard for danger. Weren't satisfied unless they were sticking their necks out a mile.
Well, there's nothing smart about that.
I'll sail with him wherever he wants, as long as he's alone. This time, it involves you and Mrs. Beatty.
To think of him getting us into a mess like this.
Now, there's an inlet on the south shore of Molokai that's always calm. If these seas get me rougher, I'm going to insist we put in there.
I'm glad to hear it. I thought we'd be able to relax and enjoy life for a change.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Beatty. I just wanted you to realize...
Well, I'm glad we had this little talk. I wonder if Randall's up yet.
Yep, he's up. He had his head Wong bring him a couple of drinks.
Drinks? At this hour?
He calls it his seagoing breakfast, Mr. Beatty. By noon, he'll think he's John Paul Jones.
Farley, after this, remind me to stick to lions and tigers.
Glad you stopped in, Beatty.
Bring Mr. Beatty a drink, Wong.
Yes, Mr. Lionel. You like a lemon cola, too, Mr. Beatty?
No, thanks. Nothing for me, Wong.
Yes, sir. I'll be back any minute, Mr. Lionel.
Is Mrs. Beatty all right? I mean...
Oh, she's not feeling her best, Mrs. Randall. She's not used to this sort of thing, of course.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I've been trying to convince Jay that we should return to shore. If I'd known about the weather report before this morning, why, we wouldn't ever have started.
Oh, that's a woman for you. I tell you, Rita, everything will be all right in a little while. We'll pass through this in no time. You'll see.
Don't you think it might be wise...
I think it would be wise for everybody to stop worrying. Stop trying to tell me what should be done. I know what I'm doing. I say there's no need for worry.
Well, maybe you're right, but Farley seems to think...
Oh, Farley's an old woman. How he ever got to be a skipper of a PT boat during the war, I'll never understand. He's a sissy.
Well, that sissy, as you call him, happens to have won 2 Navy crosses during the Philippines campaign, dear. Couldn't be that you're jealous of him, could it?
Jealous? You'll notice that he's working for me, Regis. Why should I be jealous?
Never mind. You wouldn't understand.
If you folks will excuse me now.
Now, don't rush off, Beatty.
Well, I think I'll go see how Harriet's getting along now. I'll see you later.
Okay, Beatty. Don't worry about a thing. Everything's under control.
Just a second. Oh, hello, Wong.
Mr. Beatty, you come in quick, please. Mr. Farley want to see you topside, please.
Okay, Wong, right away. Sit tight, honey. I'll be back in a minute.
All right, Clark.
Farley, what's the trouble?
It's our starboard engine, Mr. Beatty. It's cutting out. I'm afraid it won't last much longer.
Any idea what's the matter with it?
Well, probably wet. We've shipped some water, and it may be just the ignition. I've got to have a look.
Well, what can I do to help?
Well, you hold the wheel here while I check that engine. Just keep her headed in this direction.
Don't you think we better head for land, Farley?
I've already come about. We're heading for Molokai now.
Good.
Well, what's all the excitement now?
Our starboard engine, Mr. Randall. It's not running right. I'm heading for Molokai.
Oh, so you decided to disobey my orders, huh, Farley?
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you hired me to run this boat, and this time I'm doing what I know is right. I should have done it long ago. This boat wasn't built for the punishment it's been taking the past hour.
Don't be silly. You head back the way we were going.
Nothing doing, Mr. Randall. We're shipping a lot of water, and if that engine goes, well...
Farley's right, Mr. Randall. This is no time to be stubborn.
Thanks, Mr. Beatty. Take the wheel here, will you?
Right.
I'm going to call the Coast Guard boat and give them our position, just to be on the safe side. Then I'll see what I can do about that engine.
You're not going to call anybody on that radio, Farley. I'll teach you who's boss of this boat.
No, Mr. Randall, stop. Don't touch that radio.
Randall! Stop it.
Now let's see you call the Coast Guard.
Yeah. You shouldn't have done that, Mr. Randall. If we get in any more trouble than we're in now, it'll be curtains for all of us.
Clyde. Mr. Farley.
What is it, Harriet?
The cabin. There's water coming up inside the cabin.
What?
Good grief. The pumps can't handle it.
Well, Randall, any suggestions?
I don't know. Farley, what can we do?
You better start praying, Mr. Randall. It's out of my hands now.
Oh, Clyde, Is it that serious?
I'm afraid it is, honey. It looks like our troubles have just begun.
And now, back to Clyde Beatty and Danger in the Deep.
Harriet and I were on a pleasure cruise in the Hawaiian Islands aboard the J. Wilson Randall 60-foot cabin cruiser. The morning after leaving Honolulu, we awoke to find the boat rolling and tossing in heavy windswept seas. And a short time later, when one of the boat's engines quit, Harriet discovered water coming up into the cabins below.
Mr. Beatty, you hold the wheel here. And don't let it come about in the trough. Keep her headed into the waves.
Okay. Well, where are you going?
One of the forward hatches has been carried away, and I got to try to cover it before we're swamped.
Oh, Clyde, what are we going to do?
I don't know, honey. And it looks like a long swim to Mother Guy.
Well, why doesn't Farley call the Coast Guard?
We can't now. Randall got mad when Farley suggested doing that and smashed the radio.
But why?
He's too stubborn to admit he made a mistake. Didn't like Farley's taking matters into his own hands.
Well, it's no use, Beatty. I can't keep a footing on that deck.
Farley, if water's coming into the cabin, won't it flood the engine compartment, too?
No, the pumps will keep it out, I think. But with one pump not working, the water can still pour in the cabin. Our only chance is to get the emergency hand pump going. Quick.
Okay, where's it located?
Wong will show you. It's just after the galley.
You're gaining on it, Clyde. There's only about an inch of water in the cabin now.
Good. What's the report from above?
Farley sighted the inlet. He says we'll be there in a little while. We're out of the roughest part of it now.
I just hope I can last here.
Oh, you must be exhausted. I thought Mr. Randall came down to help you.
He did. And he lasted about 2 minutes. Glad I'm in good condition.
I think our host has learned a lesson, Clyde. He seemed to sober up in a hurry when he heard that water coming through.
Well, he's learning the hard way. But I hope it takes. I've had about enough excitement for one day. This inlet goes back quite a way, doesn't it, Farley? Lucky thing you knew about it.
Well, it's handy, all right. I put in here a couple of other times when it got too rough.
It's amazing. The water in here is as calm as a mill pond. It's a lagoon right out of a Technicolor epic.
Well, we'll drop anchor here and I'll see what's wrong with that engine. Can't get in too close on account of the coral reef.
How deep is it here?
Oh, 25 or 30 feet. Yeah, that'll hold her.
Well, I guess I'll join the others back on the stern deck. Let me know if I can help any.
Thanks, Mr. Beatty. I'll do that.
Well, I was just coming to get you, Beatty. I haven't had a chance to really apologize for, well, for being so stupid and so stubborn.
It's all over now. Let's just forget the whole thing.
Thank you. Well, I am sorry. I didn't realize.
No harm done, Randall. Say, honey, isn't this a beautiful spot, though?
Oh, it's lovely, Clyde. The water's as clear as crystal. You can see the bottom and all sorts of fish.
Your wife tells me you're quite a fisherman, Mr. Beatty.
Well, I don't get much chance at it these days, but I love to try. How are you fixed for tackle, Randall?
Oh, I think we've got a couple of outfits aboard. But say, I've got a better idea. Do you swim?
Sure, why?
Ever do any fishing with a spear gun? Underwater fishing?
No, I've read about it, but I've never tried it.
I'll bet you'd like it. It's one of my favorite sports.
But you got to have a bunch of fancy equipment for that, don't you?
Oh, don't worry. I've got the equipment. And this is a perfect spot to use it. Wait, I'll get it out of the locker.
Jay's anxious to show you a good time for a change, Mr. Beatty. And if you like swimming and fishing, this should be his best opportunity.
Sounds like fun, all right. Maybe we could get a fish dinner promoted here.
And this time, you won't get away with any fish stories about the big ones that get away. We can see the whole show from here, you know.
Here we are. You'll find swimming trunks in your cabin, Beatty.
Thanks, but I brought my own along, Mr. Randall. Hey, what is all this stuff here?
Oh, these are the cleverest gadgets you ever saw. They're called water gills. All you have to do is fasten the harness on your back and make like a fish.
Water gills, huh? No doubt an improvement on the fish's own system, huh, Randall?
Almost. Now, this little tank here holds compressed air. Now, you breathe through the face mask that's connected to the little rubber hose. Why, I've stayed under more than a half an hour with one of these on.
Well, that's amazing. But what are these other things?
Oh, those are spear guns. Now, this spear is shot like an arrow by the powerful little spring here. And if your aim's good, you can kill a good-sized fish with one of these.
That's enough for me. I'll see you in a minute.
Clyde, where are you going?
To get into my swim trunks. This looks like fun.
Now, you watch me from the deck here first, Beatty. Then you can try it.
By the way, what about sharks?
Sharks? I was wondering when you'd ask that. Now, don't worry. There aren't any sharks in this lagoon. The only thing you want to watch for is the moray eel. But I haven't as yet seen one of those.
You mean some eels will attack a person?
The moray will. They're small but vicious, however. And as I said, I'm sure there aren't any around here. Well, let me get my mask on here, and I'm on my way.
We'll be watching, Randall. Let's see you get a good fish.
Oh, there he is. Watch. Heading for those fish down near the bottom.
I see them. Over there by that bunch of coral rock.
Oh, look. The fish don't seem to be frightened at all. Wait a second. He's aiming at one.
Good shot. Look, he hit it.
Wonderful. That's a good-sized fish.
Well, looks as if you'll get your fish dinner tonight, Mr. Beatty. He's bringing it up.
Yeah, and all this time I've been trying to catch fish with a rod and reel. Well, this spear fishing looks like a lot easier.
Here, Beatty. Take the spear line and pull him in.
Okay. I got it.
Good. I'll come up the ladder.
Oh, Wong, we've got a fish for dinner. Come get him, will you?
Oh, yes, Mr. Lando. Oh, that a very nice fish. Wong, fix him up good tonight.
Well, put it on ice, Wong, and we may have more in a minute.
All right, Mr. Lando.
That was a big one, Jay.
Not bad, huh, baby?
Not bad at all. I'm anxious to try it myself.
All right, here. Let's get your mask on. Oh, wait a second here.
What's the matter?
This oxygen hose been pinched or something. There's a hole in it.
Hey, I'm glad you noticed it before I went in.
You'd have discovered it soon enough. But you won't be able to use it, I'm afraid. I'll tell you what, I'll make one more dive as long as I've got this stuff all on. Then I'll give it to you and you can try it.
Well, that suits me. I'd just as soon see you demonstrate the technique once more anyway.
Okay. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. There's something I want to look into down at the bottom. Did you notice that cave-like formation down in that coral?
Yeah, but it looked pretty dark down there. I don't
well,
think...
Well, there might be a nice fish in that hole. Well, soon see.
Jay, be careful. Those rocks are sharp.
Your husband's quite a swimmer, Mrs. Randall.
Yes, he is.
Earl, I'm afraid we're going to have to get back on one engine, folks. I can't seem to get the bad one fixed.
All right, Farley. Mr. Randall's spear fishing. I'll tell him when he comes up.
He won't be down long, Farley. He just wanted to look into a sort of a cave down on the bottom.
You wouldn't catch me down around the bottom of this lagoon. You never can tell what you might run into.
Randall said there weren't any sharks around here. Isn't that right?
Well, that's what I've been told, but...
Oh, Farley! Mr. Beatty!
What is it?
It's Jay, look. Look, something's got hold of him down there.
Holy mackerel, it looks like an octopus.
But he'd do something.
Where's that other spear gun?
Oh, here it is, Clyde. But what good will that do?
I don't know, but I'm going down to try to help him.
Please, Mr. Beatty, hurry.
But, Clyde, the mask, it won't work.
I know, I'll have to go without a mask.
Oh, Clyde! That octopus is trying to drag Jay inside the cave.
If he can only hang on to those rocks until Mr. Beatty gets down there.
What good will that little spear gun do against an octopus?
Well, there's just a chance if he hits it in the right spot, it'll do the trick. Otherwise, they're both goners.
As I clutched the spear gun and swam toward the bottom of the lagoon, I could make out the dim figures in their desperate struggle. The dangerous monster was some 15 feet in diameter, his 8 long tentacles covered with rows of suction cups. Randall could not escape unless I hit the octopus a paralyzing blow with a spear. I saw Randall's body go limp in the octopus' grasp. The mask supplying the oxygen had been torn from Randall's face. Quickly, staying just out of reach of the waving arms, I took aim and fired the spear gun. It hit squarely into the nerve center of the monster's body. Immediately, the water changed into a black cloud as the octopus discharged an inky fluid. My lungs bursting for air, I fought for the surface, holding Randall's body in one arm.
Oh, water! Oh, my God!
Daddy, you all right?
Yeah, I am. But I don't know about Randall.
Here, I'll pull you forward. Come on.
Jay.
I think you've come out of it okay, Mrs. Randall. Lay him flat. I want to get some of the water out of him.
Thank heaven.
I'll keep up the artificial respiration for a minute. He swallowed a lot of water.
Wong, get some brandy.
Here's Mr. Lando.
Oh, no. He's opening his eyes. Jay, honey.
What happened to that octopus?
Better not try to talk, Randall. Just take it easy.
I didn't see it. How did it get away?
Well, you can thank Mr. Beatty, Jay. He dove down and shot it with the other spear gun.
No. Thanks, Beatty. That was the thrill I wasn't looking for.
I've an idea of the experiences Jay's had today. They'll change his outlook, Mr. Beatty.
Let's hope so. A guy can stick his neck out just so far without getting his head lopped off.
Well, I know Jay'll want to prove that he's learned that when we get the engine fixed. He'll show you what a pleasure cruise should be like.
Oh, that's awfully nice of you, Mrs. Randall, but Maybe Clyde and I should just spend the rest of our time in Honolulu.
Well, now, we won't hear of such a thing. We're still going to show you Mauna Loa, aren't we, Jay?
Yes, absolutely. Please say you'll come.
Well, we'd still like to see it, all right. From a respectful distance, of course.
A respectful distance? Why do you say that?
Just being cautious, Mrs. Randall. After seeing the spots your husband can get himself into, I don't think we should get too close to Mauna Loa.
Huh? What do you mean, Beatty?
I mean it'd be just like that volcano to start erupting and throwing rocks at us, and I'm too tired to duck.
And now, here is Clyde Beatty.
Rare animals have always been highly prized by circus owners. A few years ago, while on an expedition in Siam, I found one of the rarest. After I arranged to buy it, I discovered danger and trouble were a part of the deal. And literally, I had a white elephant on my hands. When next we meet, you'll hear about a fabulous outcast elephant in a story called The White Rogue of Siam.
All stories are based upon incidents in the career of the world-famous Clyde Beatty and the Clyde Beatty Circus. The Clyde Beatty Show is produced by Shirley Thomas. Danger in the Deep was written by Robert T. Smith and Frank Hart Plussig.
The Clyde Beatty Show, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated episode from 1949. Bringing the curtain down on this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. Thanks for tuning in.